Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three on Hump Day. And you know what that means? It's the middle of the week, therefore we play the camel at the beginning of the show. And oh, by the way, we do a thing called the Grand Council at the top of the third hour. So let me just jump on in here. What I'm doing is bringing in my friends for the Grand Council, hailing from the southern part of the states, FM Talk 106.5, host of the Jeff Poor Show. Oh, by the way, editor-in-chief for 1819 News. Also works with Breitbart and Land Yap and some other stuff like that. Jeff Poor, are you there?
I am present.
You are indeed, and we're glad of it. All right. Looking northward, then, for the other part of the state, from 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting's host of the Dale Jackson Show. Oh, by the way, does a gig on TV. Oh, by the way, also works with Yellowhammer News. Dale Jackson, are you there? I'm glad of it. All right, I pronounce a quorum. Hit it, JP.
Assemble the Grand Council.
All right, quorum being pronounced, we're all in. Jeff Poor, you go first. What do you got, man?
I know it's there's 7 or 8 days left of legislative session, and a lot could happen between now and then. But the rumor on the rumor in the hallways is tomorrow they're going to start cloturing in the Senate, which will probably mean everything is said and done that's out there. But I was thinking about this. If you had to grade this session, what would you give it?
If you had to grade this session?
Yeah.
I mean, this is like a C-minus session. I don't really know what came out of it. Nothing really struck me as being A, controversial, B, meaningful. I mean, I look at it as the session in which they had surplus budgets, but they still did away with tax relief that they had already put in place. They're basically, they're taking food off people's tables. I look at it as the year they tried to do gambling through the back door in local legislation, and I also look at it as the year when you really can't figure out who's in charge or what the plan is. So it's been a little bit tepid. The one thing I will say that's been a high point was when Garland Gudger said, "We ain't doing gambling, stop talking about it," and I really appreciated that. Dale, your thoughts?
I give it about a C. Nothing special, nothing particularly outrageously bad or anything like that anyone will be bragging about, except to say we took an extra penny off your sales taxes on food a little bit sooner. That seems to be the only thing they'll hang their hat on. Other than that, not much.
I mean, there really is. I mean, you're down there a lot, Jeff. I'm assuming you're down there today. What do you see? I mean, so Dale and I are both putting them in the C category. Where are you?
I don't know, C minus maybe. I'm hesitant to say D, but I can lean into D. You can convince me of that. It's a lost session. And it's the third year of a quadrennium. Senator, isn't that the big year? Isn't it the second and third year of the quadrennium when you really do something remarkable? And there was really nothing there. Now, look, I'm not one of these guys that needs to be cheerleading the legislature to pass a bunch of laws or whatever. We don't really need that. But I think there's a lot of things they can do as far as conservative policy goes, that they just kind of didn't do it. I don't even give them credit for the grocery tax. Yeah. They did that already.
Yeah.
They're doing it again, and it was going to come off anyway. So you don't get, like, a victory lap twice.
No, you don't, and I totally agree with you. I also saw this being in the year.
I agree with that. That's what I was saying.
Yeah, I think we're all saying the same thing. It was definitely a very tepid, lukewarm session. I look at, too, it's a session when, for reasons that I cannot explain, Governor Ivey got like her agenda items passed without even fully declaring them as agenda items. It just the whole session just felt like you guys are like sort of 1 foot in and 1 foot out the whole time. That's the way it felt. All right, enough of that. All right, Dale, you're up. What do you got, buddy?
Okay, you're a former senator, recovering politician.
I am.
I'm sure there were times when people were doing things you thought were stupid.
Yeah.
And I don't know, you know, you're going to run out and say it, but man, National Democrats are having members of Congress run down to El Salvador to save a wife-beating MS-13 member from a prison there and failing. Is there not like a come on man caucus inside the Democratic Party that can say, These idiots aren't with us. This is incredibly stupid 2080 nonsense. What are we doing? Well, where are the sane Democrats?
Well, you know what's crazy is when you look at it, you've got Rahm Emanuel and James Carville that are the two biggest. These are guys from the Clinton administration, and they are the two most vocal guys out there about, you know, stop the madness and get back on message. But when you got Cory Booker and Chris Van Hollen talking about running down, and by the way, Van Hollen went down to El Salvador for no reason because they wouldn't let him in the prison, which we all knew was the case. What they've done is they've created a straw man argument. They've got nothing. They got nothing else helpful. They don't know what to do. They have no plan. They really don't want to have to refute Biden's agenda because it was Biden. And so what they're doing is they're grabbing hold of the one dude, the MS-13 wife beater, and they're claiming that he's some kind of model citizen father, and they want him back. It's nuts. Jeff, weigh in.
It's almost like they're playing for the far left lane in the 2028 presidential race or something, because I don't think that's going to be an option for these guys necessarily. They have probably everybody vying for the moderate lane. And then right now we're doing the far left, but all this stuff it's all they know is the playbook to bash Trump, and that didn't work. And they threw everything out, so I question the wisdom. Even if you think what Van Hollen did was the right thing to do, if that's fine if he's doing it for that reason, but I'm pretty sure he's doing it because, you know, the former DNC chairman is doing this because he wants to, or the DSCC or whatever it is, chairman, is doing this because he's trying to rack up some political points against the Trump administration.
That's all it is. That's all they can do is, there's an old saying in the practice of law that if the law is in your favor, argue the law. If the facts are in your favor, argue the facts. If nothing's in your favor, just bang your hand on the podium and do the best you can. That's all they've got right now. They're banging their hand on the podium. They got nothing. All right, speaking of got nothing, story broke today that Senator Tommy Tuberville may have competition. Kyle Sweetser, the alleged former Republican who spoke at the DNC and advocated for Kamala Harris, has now announced he will run as a Democrat against Senator Tommy Tuberville. Should we fear for Tuberville's political future? Jeff?
Obviously, no. It's like the AL.com candidate. Might as well not even. The only people who are going to be paying attention to this guy, these guys are going to be spending their high-end beer money and have to drink Natty Light and to give to this guy. But that's all I see. That there's no audience for that.
Natty Light. All right, Dale, what do you think?
If he's going to run against Tommy Tuberville, he better start running for governor, because that, I think, is what's going to happen. And you know what that means? He's the front runner for the Senate race. Oh, no.
Because ain't nobody else in it. We'll see. I think the whole thing's ridiculous. I mean, I do agree that the Democrats got to try. But I look at this guy and think, if that's the best you got, you got somebody who's never done anything. No one's ever heard of him except that he switched affiliations to go endorse Kamala Harris, who even their own party doesn't like and was embarrassed by. I'm thinking, man.
I thought he was running as a Republican.
No, he says he's running as a Democrat in the article I read. Am I wrong?
Okay, I missed that part. I missed that part, too.
Jeff, is
right.
He is the front-runner for the Democratic nomination.
He's a what, Jeff?
He's a Democrat.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Democrat.
Yeah, in fact, the bylaws of the state Republican Party anyway wouldn't let him run because he just finished advocating for Kamala Harris. So the bylaws would have kicked him off the ballot anyway. It's nuts. It's fun. We'll see where his fundraising goes, but I don't see him taking the top of the ticket. All right, we're taking a break. That's round one. That was fast. This goes five so fast. All right, Jeff Poor, Dale Jackson, and just little old me. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Pulling pins on truth grenades. All right, we're going right back to round two of the Grand Council with Jeff Poor and Dale Jackson. I think I said Jeff Poor was first in line. So, Jeff, what do you got?
Well, let me go. I may have asked this already last week. I can't remember. But looking at the situation with the tariffs, and you've got to kind of like it on the way Trump's not necessarily handling it, but sort of the way he's weathering the storm. You feel like that, like if this is as bad as it gets with this stuff, that he's in pretty good shape. At least that's my take. What do you think?
Yeah, me personally, I think he's I'm not sure it's even been a storm to weather. I mean, it's been – even the days when there might be a little storm in the market, it's almost been like he planned it that way. It almost feels like that, you know? And like right now, I'm sitting here staring up at the screen, one of the screens in the studio. CNN's got a story about how tariffs are threatening a D.C. wine bar. That is so niche that I'm not sure that they really ought to run the story. But what we're looking at right now is broad-based. The American public has not been feeling this kind of pain that the left was determined that we were going to have. And then when you find that Trump is going to go ahead and say, all right, look, you got negotiations going on now with 170 countries, 170. What that means is it worked. And then China got completely isolated. So China is now trying to figure out whether they can backdoor something with Vietnam. But the reality is, China is now isolated on the world stage economically, militarily, and otherwise. And so thus far, the markets have responded favorably to Trump being willing to negotiate. So thus far, this has not even been much of a storm to after weather. Dale Jackson, what say you?
I tend to agree. I think that's probably exactly correct. There's not much going on here with this. And that's why it's kind of dropped out of the news here recently, right? And now we're dealing with some guy, MS-13 wife beater is the lead story. So I think that tells us the story, right?
It seems like it. I mean, what do you think, Jeff? Your question.
Well, it's easy. One of the historicals, past presidents would have, like, cratered by now, I think. And no matter what the media do, they're not able to lay a glove on him right now. But think about this guy. He's got to negotiate these trade deals. That's going to be a shot in the arm, at least if you're just the Dow Jones Industrial Average watcher, you know, if that's what your metric is. I think it's more complicated than that. But also, I think there's a potential for another rate cut somewhere along the way.
Yeah.
There's a lot of upside to the economy going forward once you weather this tariff stuff.
Yeah, I think absolutely. And I think he was also smart to do this right away and do it in mass as opposed to selective and then kind of have this kind of patchwork quilt of stuff. I think he was right to do the mass tariffs, put a baseline on all of them of 10%, and then adjust them based upon the reciprocal tariff that he did, and then be able to willingly pull them back whenever he felt like he could. And I think what you're going to wind up starting to see is some trade deals coming out. I think you're going to see them bit by bit. Some of the more significant ones will take a little time, but you're going to see a constant string of announcements that are going to wind up being favorable, and I think it's going to drive the market in the right direction. Next question, Dale Jackson, what say you?
Well, that kind of goes, I was wondering, you know, we haven't seen the first big trade deal that will set off the, maybe the Donald Trump won the tariff war thing, or this is a terrible trade deal, he caved. So how long until we see that first big trade deal?
Well, if it was the Biden administration, it would have taken a year and a half. I think you're going to wind up seeing several trade deals occur within the next 30 days. And I would dare say some of those are going to be what I would call second tier. There are going to be trade deals with Ireland. There's going to be trade deals with Germany. But then you're going to see the EU. And then you're going to see a major energy deal, I think, as we bring our sector online. And you're going to wind up seeing things happen where we're going to have a major trade deal where we give our energy to them and they in return give us great credit on some trade. It's going to wind up being a combination of bigs and smalls. But I bet within the next 30 days you're going to start seeing these things rolling out. Jeff?
Yeah, I think so, too. I'd watch Japan. I'd watch the EU. I think it's inevitable. He's kind of playing with house money right now, Donald Trump is. But if this is bad as the storm gets politically, he has way more leverage in these trade negotiations than these other countries will. They'll feel it. Even in the next week or so, you'll start to see something.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not going to be a bit surprised. I think some of the stuff was already in the pocket, and they were just waiting for the opportunity to bring it out. All right, I'm going to take the last question here. I got two questions. Is it true that Dale Jackson is a cheating judge who threw Jeff from Indiana under the bus this morning during a singing competition? I don't understand that at all. All I know is that does not sound like fair play. I don't know how to deal with this, but... There you have it.
It's absolutely true. Jeff Poor made a bad decision, and I had to correct him. So, yeah, that's what happened.
It was Jeff helping Jeff is what it was.
Well, I gave my honest assessment. I thought it was a dopey segment, but I played along like a good little trooper. And this bastard, he overrules me. So when I try to do a stupid shtick, he doesn't even play along with his stupid shtick.
All right,
back. You know, this is a nightmare for Jeff. He's had to now discuss this twice in one day, something that is not heavy news. And he is so upset by it, you can tell by his voice.
All right, on to serious questions. 1819 ran an amazing story about an amazing interview on an amazing radio show yesterday. That would be Right Side Radio. Stephanie Smith from API has come out with a report that shows that tons of tax dollars appear to be going to some very questionable things through Innovate Alabama. And there's a bunch of legislators on that board. I got about 1 minute. Jeff, is that story going anywhere?
Not really. No, it's some of the small business loan stuff, and the state's only administering it, so they got to pay it back. But I would say this about Innovate Alabama. It's known as sort of a playground for big interest, well-to-do types to pay their country club memberships.
Wow. Well, I look at it as being just, there's some grossness in there when you see things like Mexican restaurants getting a new kitchen built with tax dollars. I don't get that at all. It doesn't look like it meets the criteria for Innovate Alabama. But Dale, you got any thoughts on it?
It just looks bad. And, you know, you were an elected official in the past, as I mentioned before.
Yep.
You should be trying to avoid the appearance of these things, right?
I mean, yeah, you're going to put yourself on the board, and then you're gonna hold up yourself as a conservative Republican, and then, by the way, you're helping fund the building of a new convenience store in Bessemer. What the heck? I don't know. I think the story could unravel a little bit more, and I hope that certain members of the media will take it and run, but I think they should. I think they should pull that string. Absolutely should. All right, you guys, thank you much for your time. As always, Jeff Poor from FM Talk 106.5 and 1819 News, Dale Jackson from WVNN, Cumulus Broadcasting up yonder in Huntsville, and, by the way, with Yellowhammer News, and just little old me. Coming up next, more text messages and our last topic of the day, conservative stars. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.